You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. For the better part of a decade, the name California Forever has been connected to an ambitious and controversial plan to build a city from scratch. The land, wedged between Sacramento and the Bay Area in Solano County, was purchased by tech billionaires with the promise of building America's next great city and creating an economic engine for the state. But those claims have been met with strong local opposition over the years. Pushback that led to backers pulling a ballot measure before voters back in 2024. But California Forever has far from given up, with a lot of the work now happening behind closed doors. Kate Wolf and U.S. de la U are reporters from CalMatters. That's a nonprofit newsroom that partners with public media stations across the state. And they took a deep dive into the renewed push to build a new city and the political heavyweights that they've enlisted to influence the governor and state lawmakers. Welcome.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, Kate, so this can just be really hard to visualize. What exactly is California Forever?
California Forever is a group of investors that have big plans to create a walkable, new urbanist city in the agricultural lands of Solano County. So they've picked up land about the size of two San Franciscos, and they're hoping to create a new city. And over the years, they've picked up a few other plans, too, to kind of really make a serious manufacturing hub, a serious shipyard. But mostly, it's right now a bunch of empty land.
That was going to be my next question. I was like, what does it look like today? Because it's kind of wedged around like Suisun City, Travis Air Force Base and Rio Vista, correct?
Exactly. And it's a lot of land that's been zoned agricultural. It's where the shipyard is being proposed. It's marshland where there are no roads that go to this space. So it's being used for wind farming. It's being used as grazing land for growing wheat and stuff. So really, it's a bit of a wonky formation that they've picked up. But yeah, mostly empty land at this point.
Going back to the very beginning of all of this, it kind of felt like a secret society. A lot of this was under wraps. Just remind us how the public became aware of California Forever.
Yeah, so over the years, starting in 2016, a group called Flannery Associates was buying plots of land and plots of land even that weren't for sale, right? Approaching farmers and approaching landowners saying, hey, I'll buy twice the market rate for this land. And even people who said, I don't really want to sell, they were offering, you know, they were doing some what these people later alleged were strong arm tactics to get them to sell. So folks were really suspicious. And this is not like a, you know, folks know each other around here, right? So they were wondering, is this, you know, for instance, a foreign entity buying this land so that they can spy on Travis Air Force Base, which this land goes around? There was just a lot of suspicion and folks were not really happy about this. And it came out in 2023 that this was a group of tech investors that were behind Flannery Associates.
So initially, these backers, they tried to put this or present this, at least a piece of it, in front of voters back in 2024. They then pulled the measure off the ballot. So that kind of gets to that local opposition and pushback. How sizable is the pushback to this project?
I think it's been a real specter for a lot of people in Solano County for the past 10 years, right? People have been really paying close attention to how is the Board of Supervisors talking about this, and what are the tactics that California Forever is using to maybe get around this opposition. We know that there are two significant groups, California For Never, Solano Together. These are groups that are opposed, but they are just regular people, right? They don't have lobbyists. They don't have a lot of presence in the legislature.
So after that measure was pulled off the ballot in 2024, I mean, the work didn't really stop. Stella, I mean, your reporting and Kate's reporting shows, I mean, they've been pursuing other avenues. There is this renewed push. So what does that look like today?
Yeah. So at the local level, I mean, they've sort of pivoted to Sassoon City. It's right now pursuing this expansion plan that would essentially...
So for the city to incorporate this
totally,
land?
To incorporate some of the California forever owned county land into the city boundaries so that they could develop it a little more easier. Because within the county, to do any development, you would have to go through the voters. And with such local opposition, it's a hard battle to fight. But also, it's, you know, simultaneously, they're going to the state for help. Overall, what they're asking for is to speed up the environmental review process so that they can build it faster. And all of this would kick in, all of this relief that they're seeking would kick in if a manufacturer or a shipbuilder comes to the area and signs a lease with them.
Okay.
So there are three, key points that they're asking from the state. One is to use this 18-year-old environmental report for the shipyard that they're proposing. So even though the footprint back then, as approved in the report, was much, much smaller. But what this would do is it would essentially save the developers time, so they wouldn't have to come up with another report to satisfy the requirement under state law. And another ask is for them to label the development as a quote-unquote environmental leadership project. And that would essentially limit any legal dispute over the project to 270 days, since, you know, as we know, many developments could get tied up easily in courts for years and years. So finally, they also want the state to require enough housing. But if surrounding cities don't cooperate or cannot build enough housing to satisfy the need of the manufacturer or the shipbuilder, then what this proposal they are pushing for would do is that the state would then allow Sassoon City to absorb that land, mm-hmm. similar to the plan that they're pushing locally. So that would essentially bypass the county ordinance that would require voter approval.
Okay. I mean, when you try to visualize California forever, I mean, the version of it today, I mean, you mentioned the shipyard, you mentioned a manufacturing park, you mentioned a city of what, like 400,000 people, like a walkable city, vibrant downtown, great streets, and this is like on their homepage. But what is currently what? Agricultural land and marshland. Mm-hmm. So that is a big difference from what currently exists. So I would think there's just a lot of lobbying that's taking place to try to expedite this from the backers of California Forever. And in your reporting, you found that they've also enlisted these political heavyweights to help mm-hmm. with that task to state lawmakers. One is a very familiar name here in Sacramento. It's former Mayor Daryl mm-hmm. Steinberg, who is also the former Senate President Pro Tem. The other is a former Senate Majority Leader, Bob Hertzberg. So, Stella, what is their role in all of this?
Yeah, so both of them, you know, they are authors of landmark environmental laws in the state, right? And what we mentioned, for example, the law that would mark it as a leadership project to streamline the environmental review process. That law was authored by former Mayor Daryl Steinberg himself, and that in part helped the Sacramento Kings Stadium getting built. And then Bob Hertzberg, on the other hand, he also was a legislative leader for many years. I mean, he authored significant reform that basically delegated more power to these county-based independent organizations to regulate city and county boundaries. And so these are very influential people. They were retained by California Forever as quote-unquote special counsel. And so what that means is that they are not registered lobbyists who would then have to disclose payments under state law. But instead, as special counsel, as long as they don't spend too much of their time talking to public officials, they can actually remain sort of, in the background, right?
When you say, like, when talking to officials, you mean in a formal setting, right? Because, I mean, what if, like, you're friends with them? I mean, it's a small town.
That is where the line gets really blurry, right? Under state law, there are specific requirements you would have to hit in order to be required to register as lobbyists. And in this this case, you know, they could be talking to officials over lunch. They could be, you know, stepping into their offices. We don't know that without the requirement for them to publicly disclose these things. But they are talking to them and trying to influence them.
You know, asking to streamline or fast track an environmental review isn't uncommon in California. Mm-hmm. But for a project of this scale and of this size, are there any precedents to this?
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that did come to mind, just because the law was the one that was evoked back then, was the Kings Stadium. But, you know, there has been a lot of, you know, pushback that says, you know, this type of project with such scale, broad scale of advanced manufacturing and the shipbuilding, that is exactly the type of project that requires the state environmental law to you know, it requires that kind of public scrutiny under this law. And so, you know, I mean, we have seen more broadly state lawmakers in recent years trying to streamline environmental reviews for, you know, projects such as housing, right? Because that's been a major concern. That's been a major crisis in California. But yeah, I mean, what's perhaps unique about this is simply the scale and also the environmental impact that it might have, given that it would be a huge manufacturing plant.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm talking with Kate Wolf and Yue Stella Yu, reporters from CalMatters, and they took a deep dive into the renewed push to build a new city called California Forever in Solano County and the political heavyweights they've enlisted to influence the governor and state lawmakers. We heard a little bit about the opposition, and we'll dive into that in just a moment or so. But when it comes to backers of this, aside from tech billionaires, former state lawmakers, who are the other groups that are supportive and are actually maybe excited about the prospect of California Forever?
Yeah, so there is a group called California Alliance for Jobs, which has kind of spearheaded collecting a coalition to send a letter to lawmakers to say, hey, we're all for this. We want you to take legislative action ASAP to secure something that we actually haven't talked about yet, which is a specific deal with Saronic Technologies, which is a drone boat manufacturer. Mm-hmm. And they've essentially used this deal as, you know, an accelerant to put some pressure on making it happen.
Because they're being courted elsewhere in other states,
exactly
right?
Exactly right. Yeah. So this kind of came to a head. And part of the reason that Stella and I covered this was because there was some publicity about the deal that Saronic had been offered in Texas. And when we, you know, when the California Alliance for Jobs heard about that, they sent their letter. And that's really a coalition of union labor. Mm-hmm. And the union labor portion is something that is a real asset for California Forever. They signed a historic deal with union builders who are extremely influential in the capital to use union labor for their project. And this was lauded as, you know, a person coming out of an apprenticeship can work in California Forever their whole life. You know, they can start their career building California Forever and retire, too.
So it's a 40-year deal.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that that has been a real source of strength for them. And not just these heavyweights that they've enlisted, but they also have disclosed other lobbying, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of lobbying through Axiom Advisors is the group they use. This is a bit inside baseball, but that group has really close ties to Newsom. And we have heard from other reports from the San Francisco Chronicle, for instance, that that Newsom is really considering this.
Has the governor publicly weighed in on California Forever?
He did in initial stages. He essentially said it was wrong of them to be so secretive in the start. But we haven't really heard from him in these most recent chapters of the negotiations.
Okay. When it comes to the state capitol and lawmakers, what is the likelihood that there is a legislative pathway to making California Forever happen. Is there an appetite for this at the Capitol?
I would say that anything is possible at the Capitol. I know that's kind of a squirrely answer, but they can really, just because the legislative policy deadline is passed, that happened last week, does not mean that they are done legislating. So there are pathways forward for this. Stella and I both spoke with a representative from Solano County. I spoke with Lori Wilson, Assemblymember Lori Wilson, who represents Sassoon City.
Yeah, what do they all say? It directly affects them.
She was saying, you know, that she has not been directly lobbied that much about this. So she took a little bit of a more neutral tone, although she has, you know, expressed discomfort with skirting local processes.
Mm. Yeah. And I've spoken to Senator Christopher Cabaldon, who also represents the area. And, you know, he's probably more critical of the approach and more skeptical of, you know, the proposal. And so, you know, he has said that he'd been approached, you know, by, you know, people who represented California Forever because they were floating this proposal to him. And, you know, he shared a lot of concerns, one of them being, you know, kind of similar to Wilson's. Why is this coming up in the state? You know, why doesn't California Forever engage with the local process? Why are they seeking relief from the state? And he saw it as a way of going directly to the state for relief and trumping local control, which he's not a fan of. And he's also skeptical to, you know, how many jobs would this development would bring, given that, you know, Saronic, what we just talked about, is an automated ship builder. And so he was questioning that. And he also brought up, you know, a lot of the environmental concerns that we sort of touched upon, you know, him saying that this is the exact type of project that deserves the public scrutiny, deserves a close look under the environmental law.
Yeah, I mean, there have been so many iterations of California Forever in the better part of a decade. It's garnered a fair amount of national attention. Just finally, what stood out to the both of you diving into this and learning and kind of doing the, you know, the inside baseball that is the state capitol when it comes to this potential new city in the state?
I think that it's just really interesting to see how, you know, they could work with these heavyweights, really, and, you know, and sort of do things out of the public eye in this way when it's been such a public conversation. And yet, you know, it's high stakes for them because they own this land. They've owned this land for 10 years. You know, they have this question of what are we going to do with it? So I think just the backdoor nature of it, it has been quite interesting to see.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I kept thinking to myself, nothing's really dead. And, you know, there are deals that you could make with local officials. And if it doesn't work at the local level, if it is met with heavy resistance, you could easily just go to the state if you, you know, had the right numbers, if you knew who to call. And so I think that has been something that we've seen as politics reporters in Sacramento, not just with this deal, but a lot of the times, you know, we would see bills or legislative proposals, right, or even something that was discussed at the local level coming up in the state government context. And so that's something I keep, you know, telling myself, hey, you know, nothing's really killed. You know, it can always come back in later years. They can always try again if they have the money and if they have the, you know, the contacts.
Well, Kate and Stella, thank you so much for sharing your reporting and taking that deep dive.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thanks so much.
Kate Wolf and USLU are reporters from Cal Matters, and they took a deep dive into the renewed push to build a brand new city from scratch. It's called California Forever in Solano County, and the political heavyweights at the backers of this project have enlisted to influence the governor and state lawmakers. Still ahead, known as the first spoken word artist when America's Got Talent, Stockton native Brandon Leak is expanding his talents into the world of music. We'll learn why he's taking this artistic leap of faith and listen to his new single. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.